Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats, health and wellness advice for women over 40 and beyond with Amanda Thebe. This is a show full of hot topics specifically for hot women. Amanda Thebe is a force of nature for women who are experiencing menopause hell and want to start feeling healthy and fit in their 40s and beyond. Through her very frank articles, podcasts, and hilarious social media presence, she's here to help you with informative advice while making you laugh like a 20-year-old throughout. Her raging fans have called her an unstoppable inspiration, resilient bitch, and one woman called her the over 40 guru to watch in 2017. Please visit us at fitandchips.com. And now, here's your host, Amanda Thebe.
Okay, and welcome back to Fit and Chips Chats with me, your host, Amanda Thebe. I am here with Sam Pitt, who I met virtually on Instagram. I followed Sam and she follows me. We're mutual followers and of each other. And I love watching Sam's journey because she is a woman of 43, so a similar age to myself and the people who follow me. And I love her approach and energy that she gives to fitness. And the reason I've asked Sam on the show today is because she's completely transformed her life. And I want to get her to tell her story because I just find it so inspiring. And I want her to tell the story to you all. And I hope this might inspire some of you that are maybe a little bit scared to get started or maybe have lost that belief in your athletic ability, because that goes as well as we age. And I want you to hear Sam's story and listen to the struggles that she went through, and also just see if you can find a little bit of something in you when you listen to the story. So welcome to the show, Sam.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited about this, actually, because you've said a couple things there that I love to hear, that there's struggles and that there are things to overcome and that it's never too late to start. And I think if anybody watching today would walk away thinking that they might try something along their fitness or lifestyle journey that would improve things or would give them a healthier future, then I would be more than happy just to have even been here today, because that certainly happened for me. My story starts actually a long time ago after my kids were born, and I've never been an active person, never. I'm actually a knitter. So if you follow me on Instagram, you know that I'm Sam Knitter, and I still love to knit very, very much. But that's certainly what I was known for, always was my knitting, sitting on the couch and knitting, watching movies and knitting, quite sedentary. And that's nothing against knitters, because I still knit, but I figured out a way that I can knit and actually be healthy as well. But not only was I a knitter, I was also a really heavy smoker. And I can, if I look back to how I knit, that was kind of actually a benchmark for me. If I just finished 30 more rows, then I can have a smoke. And I'd head out to the garage and I'd have a cigarette. And I'd come back in, do the 30 rows, or whatever benchmark I set for myself. And so the time that I got off the couch was to go and have a cigarette and then come back to the couch again and continue knitting. I certainly didn't drink water. It was double coffee, actually. Lots of sugar, lots of milk. And just, I'm sure you're getting the picture of the kind of lifestyle that I led. And my husband, who he is my one true support, he has always been active. He used to work out in our basement, in all the houses that we've moved to along the way. He would have a weight room in the basement, and he would always do some form of weightlifting, some form of weight training. And he used to run, and that was his kind of cardio. In fact, he had buddies that he'd go out running with, and I'd wave him off, and it was never even a thought that I would consider doing anything with him ever.
And did you, growing up as a child, did you ever do anything in school? Were you the kid that did any sports at school and then you just sort of like lost the motion as you grew older? Or was it something that you've just never done?
Well, you know, it's funny that you should say that. I mean, I did the very girly type things. I was in jazz, ballet, and tap. I did the girly things up until the age of 13. And then in high school, I didn't do any of the sports. I was in the band. I didn't do any of any sports at all, actually, in high school. And then when I went to university, I thought it'd be really funny to join the rugby team.
And that was cool.
Right? That didn't even last very long. That was, I realized you had to run. And so, so I was done with that. And I really didn't, that was it. I really didn't do anything. My first 5 years with my husband were actually in England. We lived in England, which is where I had my first son. Yes. And so naturally, being English, I guess, you would, you have to walk everywhere. We had to walk everywhere. We didn't have a car. So to the grocery store, to the market, to work, I walked. So I did get rid of my first baby weight quite quickly just because of we didn't have a car and we walked everywhere.
Well, it's just a little bit more accessible because it's mm-hmm. smaller, right?
Yeah, that's right. And that's kind of the way things were. And then, but not, it was literally functional exercise. I needed smokes, so I would walk to the store, right? It was that kind of,
functional exercise.
That's really, yeah, right. I need to get, yeah. And you think that one's good, you wait till you hear about the smoking and running. But anyway. Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. And then we came back to Canada and I quickly got a teaching job and I'm a teacher at heart and I got a teaching job and our second son quickly came along. And when he was born, he was a big baby too. He's nearly 10 pounds. And yeah. And now we're in the luxuries, I guess I would call it, of Canada. We had two cars and... Yeah. I was no longer walking to the grocery store. I would get in the car to drive like just a block. Absolutely. And carried on with my knitting kind of sitting on the couch, that kind of thing. My husband carrying on with his thing. He running with his running buddies and working out in the basement. Third boy comes along. So I have three sons and they're all 5 years apart. And when my third boy came, I was really at my biggest. I really was quite large at that.
What does that mean for you? Like how tall are you?
I'm 5'5". I hit 205, but I would say 190 really. That was kind of at my biggest of my big. And you know, I've always really cared about my appearance though. I really have. So even at my biggest, I'm still dressed well and dressed up for work.
Still looked fabulous. Really, yeah.
I've always really maintained that we should look, it's kind of a belief in me. My dad used to always tell me about the ladies who work at the bank, they look posh. All right. Well, I was all about kind of doesn't matter the size you are. And certainly my husband supported that too. And I, it was more about health than it was about look. And so my husband said to me one day, you know, you're smoking half a pack to a pack of smokes a day. You're not doing anything for your heart and these boys are going to need you. And he kind of had a real like lay it on the line. And he said to me, look, I don't care if you smoke, carry on smoking, but we got to change something, either diet or you're going to have to start doing something for your heart health, because he was scared he's going to lose me.
Yeah.
And he's right. He was right. But in my head, I was like, come hell or high water, I'm not quitting smoking. Fine. I'll learn to run. So I guess him and a few of his friends and a few of my friends had this little back plan going, saying, well, they were runners. So if she learns to run, she's not gonna be able to keep up that smoking a pack a day. So let her do it. So I did. And I went on to, I mean, it's funny to tell you the story because I was still nursing my youngest at the time. And I had, you know, big kahunas. And I can remember holding my breast, running, like the pain of it, right?
I remember the same thing. I remember running after, and really it's not the best thing to do after you've had
right?
But I remember going to buy this big bra and it cost me $90, like the bra, and I had to wear two of the bras on top of it just to stop the pain.
The leaking on the pain.
Why do we do things like that? Anyway, so you're running with these big knockers.
Great big knockers. And I was setting benchmarks of run to the next lamppost, walk to the next lamppost, run to the next, literally, that's what I did. And that grew to run two lampposts, walk one. I eventually grew to walk a minute, run 2 minutes, walk 1 minute. I carried on. And when I got to run 10 minutes, walk 1 minute, I stayed there. And I didn't, I learned to run a 5K that way.
Yeah, and lots of people do. It's a trusted method. Yeah.
And I ran a 5K race and I quite enjoyed it. By the way, still smoking. I went on to run a 10K race, still in the 10 and 1 intervals. I love that. I was starting to drop weight, which, you know, was making me feel that I was getting healthier. Still smoking though, and I hadn't certainly changed my diet at all. I then ran a half marathon. I then ran a 30K around the bay race in Hamilton, Ontario.
Oh, you did the around the bay. I know that race.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And what's the length of time this took? Like a year maybe or two?
18 months by the time I was doing the 30. Yep.
That's amazing.
Then I ran two full marathons, and training for those full marathons, I was doing like a 30K run on a Sunday for a training run and stopping in the next town over to have to bum a cigarette off of someone driving through McDonald's. Like, I just ran 30K and I didn't bring my smokes. Can I have a smoke? Like literally like.
No way.
Yes, totally. 100%. So anyway, it's just really hilarious that I ended up doing all of that and I still hadn't quit smoking, which was supposed to happen a long, long time ago.
Which was really the goal of this for your husband.
It really was. And so anyway, I was clearly doing something for my heart health, which is what was making him happy. So he and his deal had been, you know what, fine, keep smoking, but do something for your heart. So that's kind of where we stood. He was also running with me. I was never running alone. He did all of those same benchmarks that I did. He was my support through all of it. But he still really wanted me to lift weights. He always lift weights in the downstairs. He always wanted me to join him. And I was, this is so boring. I can't do that. And my cousin in the States did a thing called CrossFit. We live in this small town. There's no such thing as a CrossFit gym, but Daniel, my husband, was always on about it. And then there was this news that the CrossFit gym was coming to Kincart, and he said, you know what, let's join CrossFit. Let's try it. I was like, I can't do that. Like, he showed me some pictures of Rich Froning and videos of, you know, barbell babes. There's not a chance. But really, his winning argument to me was, Sam, it'll take less time. You're in and out of that gym in an hour. Whereas when we're training for these marathon runs, we're gone. The whole Sunday's shot with the kids because he goes out for 3 hours, then I go out for 3 hours. Right? Like, it's a lot.
Endurance sports are time exhausting. Yeah.
It's a lot of time. So anyway, let's try this CrossFit thing. In the meantime, my youngest son was old enough to be not liking me smoking very much at all. Like, he was now the voice of, Mommy, why do you smoke? Mommy, you know. And to be quite honest, I at that point, I just didn't want to smoke anymore. I just quit. And I quit when 10 of us were on a trip to Newfoundland in an RV together with another family. Like, talk about your times to quit smoking. And I did. I just quit cold turkey. I just quit.
And it was fine. It was,
and it was fine. It just quit. In fact, the one other bad habit that I've not told you about all along is that I was majorly addicted to Diet Coke as well.
Yes.
And that one took me a lot longer to quit, actually, than smoking. I even through running, it used to be Diet Coke that I kept in my running belts, not water. Yeah, like just the picture of...
You're so Canadian.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Double Diet Coke. Yeah, you got it. this CrossFit gym came and we walked in the door and I can safely say we never looked back. It was something new to the town. We were founding members. We developed a community right from the start and everybody was on that same level playing field because nobody knew much about it. The coach, the owner of the gym, Anthony, who is still my number one fan as well, he really believed in me from the beginning. He was calling me an athlete from day one. And I was just shocked that, you know, I'm an athlete, me an athlete. And or you're all athletes. And so I really started the strength training then. And so at that point, the cardio really fell off in terms of long endurance, right? So it's just cardio that goes along with CrossFit. But I still hadn't changed anything in my nutrition, remember? So I was a skinny little peg is what I would think, right? And now here I started all this weight training, cross training, building muscle. And so I did. I got big again.
So as far as the weight's concerned, you were at 190 at your heaviest. You do running for a couple of years and you get back to what you consider like an okay size for you.
Yeah.
Because the size of you was never your issue. It was always the health side of it, right?
You got it.
And then, but you were happy with the way you were looking, right?
I was very happy.
And you've never had muscles, because you don't get muscles from running.
And I would probably have, you know, if anything, celebrated the fact that running got me to this healthy place, and here I am, and I'm happy to be me. And then I started weight training, and I realized that, maybe I do care what I look like. And I didn't like that about me, because I teach girls, and I didn't have any daughters of my own. So I kind of thought I escaped that whole, you know, body shaming and whatever business. I really hate it.
And boys feel it too, though.
Oh, I mean, do they ever?
One of my sons definitely does, and I've taught teenage girls, and it's just one of my big messages is about celebrating every woman.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Exactly.
And so, how did you feel when you started seeing your body changing?
Well, that I didn't like what I was feeling. Right, I didn't like that I was starting to not be happy about myself, because if we went by feeling, I felt like $1 million. I felt so much better, right? I felt strong. I felt capable. Yeah. Bringing groceries in was never an issue anymore. You know, things like I wasn't calling my husband to get that down off the top shelf anymore. Like I felt quite capable to put the bikes in the back of the car and do things that were functional living without having to call a man to do it for me. And so I was very, very proud of that. But I was thinking,
I think my question wasn't worded well when I'm saying how did you feel about it. I mean, how did you feel when you looked in the mirror, and were you like, where did that come from? How come that was happening? I didn't like, because you know that, I mean, the CrossFit body of a woman is quite a typical look.
Oh, for sure.
And that's sort of the look you have. I mean, I love the way you look. I think you're strong and sexy, and it's empowering for women to see you, and you're very, very capable of doing so many things. But it's just, I mean, the first time I remember looking in the mirror and seeing some abs, I was like, oh my God, I love it though. And it's just, I'm just wondering then, what you expected to look like if you're doing CrossFit?
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't think I had, because when you say body image, it really was farthest from my mind. Like I didn't have, as far as I was concerned, I was happy. Like it was I never joined CrossFit to look better. And I'm still not in CrossFit to look better, even to this day. But I did feel at that point in CrossFit, once I started to actually gain muscle and get stronger, at that point I was like, I feel like I'm putting a lot more work into this, and I don't know if I do have muscles. Are there muscles there? And so I actually had a chat with my coach, who said to me, you know what, nutrition's actually the base of everything. And are you sure you're fueling yourself correctly? Are you sure that you're recovering correctly? All of these kind of things.
Well, actually, I've got a Diet Coke in my water bottle right now.
Right. And so at that point, that's when I decided to get a nutrition coach. And
So you actually invested in a coach.
I did. And literally called her saying, I think we've turned our lives around already. We're really healthy eaters now, because I used to smoke. And when I actually had to start doing my daily diary, I was like, oh my gosh. And now I look back, I said, you know, maybe the lack of protein an entire day, because I thought Caesar salad was healthy. And then, you know, I'd follow that with a great vegetable lasagna it's homemade. I made it. And now I listen to myself. Oh, and the garlic bread, I made sure we had that too. And not that any of those things are bad. We still have those things as a family. But there would be a big lack of protein in our day. And I didn't even realize it, right? I didn't know.
But it also was, I mean, the food you were eating wasn't meeting your nutritional goals.
No, not at all.
And women in general tend to undereat protein. I think, I personally think it's because we don't like, it's work. It's hard work to eat a lot of protein. It's exhausting because I've got to chew and I'm just lazy.
It's funny, because when I actually did start working with my nutrition coach, it was very much like, all this, really? Like, I can't eat all this food. Yeah. Where am I going to put all this food? Like, oh my God, I'm going to turn into a whale. I can't eat, really, like literally all of these where, you know, it's quite the opposite. I think I was probably under eating actually for the amount of CrossFit.
Yeah. And I often will say to most women, what's the first thing you do when you want to lose weight? You'll eat less and work out more.
Right.
And it's and people and I have people say to me all the time, that's not what they do. And I'm like, yeah, it is.
Yes,
it's almost epidemic women do it. They don't tell you, but they'll stop eating. They'll just nibble down to 1,200 calories a day and then work and run. And it's just too much stress for the body.
Because, I mean, I'm fast forwarding in my story to, you know, the fact that I'm coaching now, but, you know, clients now that are literally sending me pictures in the morning of, well, how am I going to eat all of this? The same clients are reporting 2 weeks later, you know, major improvements in their health because they were doing exactly what you're saying, eating far too little and certainly not preparing themselves for the work ahead.
Most of the people that listen to this are women in their 40s who may or may not have had hormonal issues or may not be going through the menopause. And Sam actually had early menopause at 35 because she had a hysterectomy. So she basically had a forced menopause, and that can be pretty disrupting too. That may have impacted your health as well and the weight gain as well. And have you found that since you're now no longer in menopause that your energy levels are better, or have they changed because you're getting older? You know, I mean, I just wondered if you've got any feedback on that, or is it since you changed your diet and you really just became more aware of what you're eating that it just all of a sudden things clicked?
Yeah, there's a few things you've said there that could be true, and unfortunately I can't unpack it to say which one of those things helped, but I certainly now have more energy than ever. And I do actually attribute that to having a hysterectomy and getting through that, I want to say, miserable time in my life pretty quickly, because that was energy draining. Absolutely, that was energy draining. Losing weight and getting healthier certainly has given me more energy, as has paying attention to my nutrition giving me more energy. I believe exercising gives me more energy. But on the flip side of that, I also believe that being 43 and the mother of three kids and one of them's gone to university, that to be the opposite effect. Like, I look at my brother's young children and think, oh my goodness, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that anymore. Right. So there is a flip side to it.
Like, life is a little bit easier when the kids get older. I agree.
For sure.
Don't even know where my kids are right now.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm like,
so
I'm
great.
Sure they should be in bed. They're around here somewhere.
Hopefully they're in the house, yeah. But yeah, your stresses in life are different, and they're not always easier. Because
I mean,
your son leaving home, I imagine, was pretty stressful for you, right? There's different.
Still is, yeah. And he's gone into the army, which is, you know, adds its own its own stress in itself, you know. But I'm super proud of him, so.
And so that's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. But I think I would, like, that would be hard for me as well. So going back to your story, so you, how did you then start to deal with the changes in your body? Because now your body looks nothing like it's ever looked. And I am going to make sure that people get a before and after, because like, I drool when I see the way you look. I think it just looks so cool.
Well, it'd be really nice to hear that, because, you know, again, everyone and their opinions. And like you said, we met on Instagram. People are pretty brave behind their little screen. And I do hear all sorts of different, you know, the too bulky for a woman is probably my favorite one to combat. And really, I'm happy in my skin, and I have all of the, what I'd like to say, war wounds to show that I've had my three children, and yes, I've got extra skin, and yes, I really do still have cellulite, but it's certainly decreased since I've put time into strength training and nutrition, and yeah, I've literally turned around my physique and my body for sure. So that's taken really. What I can tell you is it's taken a lot of consistency. It's hard work. It's hard work to be where I am, but it's also just been a change in a lifestyle, and my whole family has adapted that. So we all do CrossFit. We all eat the same food, and I'm all about us having a healthy lifestyle so that we can live longer.
So what does that look like for you? So like how often do you work out and what does your day look like? Because you work full time as well as coaching, right? So it's a little bit crazy. And some days I can't get off the sofa. So I'm just wondering. Yeah,
I figure that I spent all those days already. It's pretty crazy. Some people do call me crazy for sure. I do coach at the gym and I am also a nutrition coach. And if I coach at the gym, I do choose to coach the 5 a.m., the 6 a.m. and often personal training at 7 a.m. And so if I do those things, so this is what, there comes the crazy, that's before my real job. I don't do that every day. When I do that, it'd be a couple times a week. And the reason I choose that time is because my children are still in bed. And so I don't feel that I'm taking away from my family. So, you know, if the argument to that is I'm taking away from my sleep, yes, I am, but it's going to do something that I love and it's changing lives of people every day. And I just love helping people.
Yes, me too. And I understand that the passion drives you. And
it really does. To see people that are willing to get up, to come to the gym at 5 a.m. and put their time in, I love coaching them. So that would be my morning. And then I go off to my job, which is I'm an instructional leadership consultant. So I work with teachers all throughout the school board. I'm also the regional lead for French as a second language. So I work in 11 school boards around French. So I travel a lot for work, which is also interesting, but I have a very supportive husband. So he lets me do these things. I like to work out around 5:30 myself. But being CrossFit, I know I'm in and out in an hour. And so I come home and that's when we eat together as a family. Another kind of little strict rule that I have is that we all sit at the table at the same time and eat. And after that, it's food prep that I do with my husband together. Then we do homework. Boys read, do what they need to do for homework. They have some alone time on whether it's their devices or whatever it is they want to do. And then bedtime routine and literally get up, rinse, repeat next day.
Yeah.
I don't generally get onto my nutrition coaching calls until after the kids are in bed.
Right. So it's nonstop.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's nonstop. Do you think you're going to transition over to being a full-time coach or do you just like your other job too much as well?
Yeah, well.
I did two jobs for a long time. It's hard.
Dreams. You know, I love coaching. I really do love coaching. Mm-hmm. So who knows what the future brings?
Yeah, it's an amazing story. And I think as well, I know this is a podcast, but I think when I'll make sure that people get a picture when they see the visual as well. The reason I wanted to have you on though is because I do know that there's just that, like, there's that stumbling point that happens. And it's sort of, you started early, you started sort of in your 30s, but it's a really difficult time in a woman's life and everything during menopause can feel so shitty, right? And then the idea of then saying, oh God, and now I've got to go and bloody exercise. Mm-hmm. It can be like so debilitating. It almost makes them not want to. And I really like the fact that you started exercising by doing like a walk run, even just going out to walk. To me, I'll say to people, get out and walk. At least commit to doing that 3 or 4 times a week. Just walk briskly so you get out of breath and just see what happens to your mood and your sense of well-being.
Absolutely.
So what type of advice would you give to someone that like is like middle-aged? I hate that expression, but I mean that somebody in their 40s, like maturing, and like how can they start and what's the type of things they need to say to themselves to move and to make the change?
Yeah, well, I love you saying that, just get out and walk, because that's absolutely what I say first, because I've lived that experience. Just get out and walk and see what happens, for sure. Yeah. I'd like to add some air squats in there, for sure, because I do believe very much in squatting, pushing and pulling. And so even new clients that come on or people that are interested and ladies in there, well, I can say they're midlife really that are asking me, I will always say to them squat, push and pull of some sort. And so if they're at a gym or if they're at home, I can even think of fancy ways to have them do that. Sit down, stand up on a chair to a chair, do that a few times a day. I'm known at work to stick signs around in the bathroom that say, you know, stand up and do 10 air squats. You know, Sounds like something so little, but those are the kind of things that we need to be able to do. We're going to want to be able to lift up our groceries as we get older. We're going to want to bend down to play with our grandchildren. And that's really kind of what I'm all about, is functional fitness.
One of the things that goes as we age is the ability to get up off the floor. And so one of the exercises I do with my clients is loaded up downs, just from the knees to, and it's exhausting. And, it's well documented how exhausting that is on the anaerobic system. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
Because we're using all of these small forgotten muscles that stabilize us. And so it really, you have to work hard to be able to maintain that. And it's crazy to think that that's where we are with exercises. When I exercised as a kid, it was always like, because I wanted to, I did martial arts and I was the aerobics teacher and the step teacher as well. And so I just did it because it was just, I just knew I was supposed to exercise for no other reason. And it was habitual, but I never thought I'd get to the stage where I'd be thinking, I need to do this today so my shoulders don't feel tight, and so that I feel really good, and so I'm not tired, and so that, that when I'm old, I can fasten my own shoelaces. That's always the line I say, but I mean, honestly. And then if we look good naked as a byproduct of all of that.
There we go. Well, it sounds like I'm a big seller of CrossFit, and I am, obviously, a believer in CrossFit. But CrossFit really is for everybody. I make it look a little bit out of that realm of possibility and sometimes what I post, but you know what, anybody can do CrossFit, because it really is about functional fitness and about pushing, pulling and squatting. And so if that push-up looks like you're pushing to the wall, you're still pushing your body weight. And so of course we're going to scale that down to a higher box and a lower box and a lower box until eventually you're pushing from the floor. So It's still very scalable.
And it's interesting, because I think when people think of CrossFit, and there is still boxes out there that are not progressive, and they can be a scary place. I've done a number of CrossFit sessions, it's really, to me, training is always about your coach, and you were lucky enough to get a coach that understood you and could see your journey. And I think that if anyone's looking to start exercising and they don't want to do it on their own, I would always say take your time and interview the trainer that you're going to go and see. Not particularly the modality straight away, but find a person that understands you and what you need. And like you say, if you're pushing and pulling are basic functions in life. Horizontal and vertical push pulls need to happen. Overhead, I think everyone should take their arms over the head every day. Mm-hmm. If you could hang every day, I would do that too. And I just think that, but you've got to start somewhere. And if you've lived this, right, this is your experience, you're not going to get someone to do crazy box jumps and power cleans.
Exactly.
It's just, so I think that I would say to people that, I don't do CrossFit, but I know lots of progressive CrossFit coaches, and I know that there's always something out there for everybody, right?
That's true.
They just have to find the person that's going to get them through that and stay consistent, right?
Absolutely. Consistency is key. Consistency. Yeah.
Is key. And so I don't need to know what food you put in your mouth, but you're a nutrition coach and I'm a nutrition coach, and we all do things different, but the science tends to be the same. It hasn't really changed much. And so, I'm just interested, and I know people listening will be interested, what that looks like for you, how you make choices with your food.
Mm-hmm. Well, generally, I don't diet is kind of my mantra.
Phew.
I don't believe in a diet. I definitely changed my lifestyle. And when I use the word diet, I mean diet as in what goes in my mouth, as opposed to I'm on a diet.
Yeah.
So that means if it's my mom's birthday, I'm having chocolate cake. I don't say no to things, and I really don't like restrictions. So I'm PN certified, which is precision nutrition. So at the end of the day, I'm about adding, not taking away. So I like to encourage better choices. And so just moving forward, one small better choice tomorrow. So of course I eat a lot of whole foods. I do eat my macronutrients. I do make sure that I have protein. Yes, carbs. For I can't say that loud enough.
And, especially for women.
Absolutely. And I really can't say it loud enough. And healthy fats. So yes, I eat all of those things. And I'm not a believer in low-fat diets or low-carb diets or any of the fad diets, I like to call them, because I've seen my success by eating real food. And I have a lot of people also, another. I'm not dogging Instagram at all because I love it. I really love it. But I also am surprised at how many people want me to sell their fat wraps and their, you know, pills and their magic things and what have you. And really nutrition at the end of the day is about consistency with eating good food and exercising. And those things can be as simple as possible. Like you said, going for a walk.
Yeah. And we're just to start. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Just move. Just grab your food. I see these two women every morning. I take my kids to school and it's clear to me that these women are just trying to get healthy. And I see them every morning laughing and joking. And they always wave at me. And I know they're just at the beginning of their fitness journey. But that's what they've chosen. Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah. Find something that's fun. Yeah. So I'm a PN coach as well. And I've been that for like 6 years now. And it's been, and it's everything I do comes back to the basic science that they teach us in that, but also, the psychology behind eating is basically the way that they come at this. And you and I both know that these small changes over a long period of time are very impactful and have big results at the end. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, because we touched on this, is that when you start to make changes in your life and you maybe do want to lose weight, because it's not everybody's goal. Like you said, it wasn't your goal. Chances are some of the clients that come to you, it is their goal.
Oh, absolutely.
I hear all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's this this notion of just, you know, thinking, oh, I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to be happy. And that's going to be the end of my story. I'm going to get my energy back and it's going to be fine. I'm going to be dynamic. And it's not as simple as that, as we know. And one of the areas that I like to look at, and I'm actually reading because I always forget how I word it, and I like the way I worded it, but is acceptance for commitment strategies. Mm-hmm. We both accept yourself unconditionally and also commit to making changes. And it's a two-step process, and you really do have to have that self-acceptance. And there's not, yeah. Do you think at the end of the fat loss journey, if you reach where you're going to be, if you haven't learned to love yourself along the way, you're going to be happy?
Unfortunately.
Of course, it doesn't work, does it? So, I'm really glad that you come from that point of view, because as far as I'm concerned, it's just really, it's really important as well for women to just really look at things from a very simple way as well. Like, food doesn't need to be complicated. The science isn't, it hasn't changed much, like I've said, but the basics are still there. Whole foods. Hydration, good fats, carbohydrates. Yeah,
absolutely. And when I go back to that big long crazy story that I told you, or what my one day looks like, that food prep in there to prepare for a family of five. Well, Gabe's gone now, but it was when we started this, it was a family of five. Can't look like extravagant and huge either, right? So it's got to be very simple to get us all fed and sitting at a reasonable time at the table. So sometimes that is a barrier to people thinking that there's going to be multi-ingredient big cooking going on. Not at all the case in many scenarios. Hey, I'm a crock pot lover. In the morning, I can throw buffalo chicken wraps in that crock pot and we can be eating when I get home from the gym. So
I'm hoping to get an Instapot for Christmas if I'm a good girl.
Yay,
I put it on my Santa list. So I might be an Instapot fan soon.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, but my husband's asked for one. We'll see.
Yeah, I can do everything, right? But I also, one of the things I always try and say to my clients is try and bring meal times back. And I was so happy to hear you say that you're quite strict about it. Yeah. And I am too. We don't always sit at the table. We have a nice kitchen island that we sit at, but no electronics. We sit down, we eat together, and we talk.
Right.
And you know what? And you can... And then food then becomes part of your socialing environment, and it becomes less about it being like this strict diet and restriction. It becomes like, think of the Europeans, how much they embrace their food and their culture. We need to get back to thinking like that.
We really do. We're losing that in society so much. Mm-hmm. And we see it at school and the children coming. We see it's sad. And it's such a simple thing. I understand busy lives. I really do. And busy lives are the norm now.
Well, you have one.
Exactly. But even if it comes down to with hockey or whatever your children are involved in, that can only happen 4 times a week. Well, then you know what? So be it. It's 4 times a week.
But you do it. You make it happen. This is great, Sam. So listen, Sam, thank you for coming on. It was so nice to speak to you. I might release the video as well, because it's nice for people to surface. But it will go out on my podcast in probably at the end of December, January, so people can tune in then. And I want to say thank you for coming on. And where can people find you if they want to follow you? Instagram's the place, right?
That is definitely the place where I'm growing my following for sure. And I'm Sam Knitter on Instagram. Because I do still love to knit.
And you don't post any knitting pictures anymore?
No, I don't really. I keep saying I'm going to. Just
if
to
you do, it. I will, because I'm there a knitter. I put my 1.5 socks, I will put them on.
All my half sweaters and my half projects, I will. You know, I'm sure I fool a lot of knitters who follow me looking for the knitting.
Yeah, just keep them on the toes. Keep them on the toes.
That's right. Well, yes, okay. Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, thank you. Take care. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And don't forget to tune in next week for my next guest. Take care for now. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on the services offered by Amanda, please head over to her website at fitandchips.com. That's FITNCHIPS.com. Or her Fit and Chips Facebook page. Leave a comment and she promises to respond to all questions. The views and advice expressed by Amanda Thebe are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider.